Well, welcome to a Panthers pre-game podcast, looking ahead to the weekend's action. I say action, just the one game for the Panthers on Sunday at home to the Guildford Flames. But really, we really want to look back at Wednesday night. Absolutely fabulous performance by the Nottingham Panthers. And I'm going to do that in the company at the moment of Jono Bullard and Chris Gadsby. Evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Evening.
It's Christmas time, so Ken Fee seems to party every night, so no Ken Feast.
He
Hopefully,
seemed to be partying rather hard from the picture that we saw,
yeah, I think he was already
and that was
having
a good 3 hours ago.
already having fun. Dan Green hopefully will join us. He's been busy today though with media duties. Already been on BBC Radio Nottingham, so hopefully Greener, hopefully we can afford two media duties for him. Expensive person, so perhaps maybe you'll do as a 2-for-1 offer. But anyway, plenty to talk about here on this pre-game podcast, effectively a post-game podcast because we've got so much to talk about. I mean that performance. I know Clan were short benched as well, guys. Start with you, Jono. I mean, when you look down to it, that they just had one extra player than us. But I mean, you've got to look at so many scenarios about what you saw. You know, there was four quality players out of the lineup, including three, I think, all three of them, Harris, Pearson, and Fossier, in the top 10 or so of scoring this season. You also take into the fact that we were away from home. You also take into the fact that, you know, it was a massive game for Glasgow. They're struggling in the league table, you know, and I wondered when they rested their starting netminder, or rested. He didn't play on the other night against Sheffield Steelers. Was that because, you know, Corey and the coaching staff were eyeing this game up? You know, it's a long-winded question, this, but I guess it's actually just my point of view. I just think, you know, we can delve into individual performances, but there was many reasons why Clan were favourites for that game. And I just felt almost from first puck drop, it actually rarely looked in doubt.
Thought we were absolutely magnificent last night. I thought we were brilliant. Every single player on that ice gave everything, every single shift. Every time we went forward, going back to a point you made last week, actually, Chris, every time we went forward, we looked like we might score. We were that good. And defensively, that's net minding and the defense, absolutely sensational. Bodies on the line, sticks in lanes, blocking pucks. We were just fantastic last night. I was so pleased because I think a lot of people, a lot of fans, there was a bit of trepidation about this game because of the players that we had out. But to go up there and produce a performance like that, just I don't think there's any superlatives left that we can have for this team at the moment because they just continue to delight us because of the way they're playing and the results that they're getting. I was just so happy last night and just so optimistic and confident with what's to come because that sort of performance now seems to be becoming the norm.
It's interesting, and I think we touched on this previous week. You talk about the defense. I think, you know, and again, it was the defensive display from some great forwards as well. It was the buy-in of defense. Corey Neilson mentioned it in his post-match interview, the amount of block shots. I think that's one area the Elite League website doesn't do, does it? Block
It
shots.
does, yeah, it
It
does.
does do block shots. I was looking for it earlier, so let's try and call that up then. Oh, it does do block shots, of course. I don't know what I was looking at there early, but when you look down that list, you know, Kupersek one, Matt Marcinou two, Hildimann one, Limoes one, two for Volkan, three
Three
for
for
Ollie Betteridge.
Ollie.
No surprise that there was plenty more. It felt like constant times that, you know, the players threw their body on the line, no more so than Jared Hildimann, who obviously made that great play. Because I couldn't believe that puck didn't go in. It was, what was it? Yes, it was 3-1, but Corey had pulled his netminder with what, 3.5 to go? I think it was 3.5. Because I remember speaking to my kids actually, and they were like, netminder's gone already. And I mean, Corey had to do something at that stage. He had to make a play with a 2-goal deficit. But no, Hildeman with that great goal bound, shot that he saved and cleared away. Chris, the defensive play and the commitment to what clearly what was the game plan, because it wasn't, and it was never going, even though we say they looked like they were going to score, it was never going to be some of the performances we've been used to that was full of skill. Even though there was some very skilled and lovely goals, it was that commitment to play hard, to go into the hard areas and win pucks, Chris. It to me that was it. But because we've got such a talented team, we were able to score some great goals. Matt Marston's backhand top shelf, the 2-on-1 break where Kupacek and Spencer just looked like two forwards. You try and sum it up what you thought.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I've only seen the highlights.
Well, they were good. There was 10 minutes of them, weren't there?
Well,
So.
yes, I enjoyed watching those this afternoon. But again, as you said, it's the number of block shots and the number of times that Klang got into what looked like dangerous positions, and then all of a sudden there was a body there or there was a stick there. I think Carr was absolutely astounding last night. He had a great game. But as you've alluded to, defensively, Panthers at the moment, it's what, 5 goals conceded in the last 5 games. And if you're averaging just 1 goal against a game, you've got a very good chance of at winning them. And Panthers now go into what, eventually another 2 games against Sheffield, because we haven't seen enough of them this season. They're still in the competition that they've got so much promise about. But Glasgow, yes, they would probably have gone in favourites because of the number of bodies that Panthers have out, but they've now lost 7 in a row. So they're really struggling at the moment, and Panthers just keep on flying. They're very nearly at 2 months without a regulation loss.
It's crazy. Jono, you put a tweet on that, that was saying how amazing it was. I think a Steelers fan called you out and you had a little bit of a to and fro. I mean, the Steelers fan did make a point. He did say we've been short benched and we've won those games against teams that are in the lower half of the table. So I understood his point. I guess he was trying to say we've not gone against Sheffield, we've not gone against Belfast or Cardiff in recent weeks. But there's no barometer because the way the team's playing at the moment, it wouldn't surprise me that they can pull off results short benched again any team in the table. And also I mean, it's slightly disrespectful to the teams that we've beaten because, there's a lot of depth in the Elite League this season. So while I accept his point, not against the bigger teams, as in the effectively he's probably saying not against Sheffield, not against Belfast, not against Cardiff, basically this team has the confidence at the moment that in this stretch of the you do feel they have that confidence, and as I said previously on podcast, the amount of coaches that are saying Panthers are the best team in the league at the moment, there's so many twists and turns, we don't know what's to come, but I just think that this team, I'm not going to say they had no right to win on Wednesday, but it felt like I could you saw people on social media saying, if we lose tonight, I'm okay with that. And it's very rare you hear a fan base say that. But you looked at the guys they had out, you looked at the run they'd been on. But I kind of go back to my original point that I was starting to make to you there. Like they said, the belief in the team is so strong.
Yeah, I mean, how dare I be optimistic about the team for fear of upsetting our orange brethren?
Well, that's what social media's for. Come on, like I saw the comeback, and you made a comeback, and when it's done in a respectful way, I quite enjoy it. You can vehemently disagree and have a good debate, but.
Well, I mean, this guy is very, very much one of the Orange Specs Brigade. I'm sure if it was Steelers, it producing the same things as we are, he'd be the first to be cock-a-hoop about it, as I am with the Panthers. So, yeah, but yeah, I think last night, I think I was very, very much in that camp of, you know what, if we don't manage it, I am okay with that because of the situation we were in. But as you said earlier, it was pretty obvious from the very first puck drop that we were there to win that game, and the way we played, and the way we battled, we were just absolutely superb. And I think the reason I said the things that I said is because I was probably expecting a tougher game, probably maybe expecting possibly a loss because of the bodies we were missing. But it was just business as usual, as it has been for the past couple of months. As Chris has said, it's nearly 2 months since we lost a regulation game. And it just seems to be that belief and that desire and that absolute will to win is just permeating through the team. And it didn't seem to matter that we was missing three quality forwards and one of our best penalty killers in Jordan Kelso. It didn't matter. We still went out and we still probably were on top for most of the game and came away with a 4-1 victory. And it's performances like that, I think, that make you sit back and notice. And it makes me think that this is a very special team because they are going there, going anywhere, and getting the job done. And I think I mentioned it last week that the majority of our games have been away from home as well. And out of the next, we've got 9 games now. I think until the Continental Cup, nine or 11, and the majority of those now are at home. So
Well, what have we got away? We've got Sheffield away, Coventry
Coventry
away.
away, and I think Belfast away. Yeah, so
Yes.
it's nine. It's 9 games now until the Continental Cup.
And only three are away.
Three are away, six are at home.
Yeah,
So
that's very interesting.
and I think that gives us a platform if we can get results, if we can continue in this vein of form. I think it puts us in a very, very strong position when we come to the Continental Cup and then when we come back into league play afterwards.
And I love what he did with his lines last night. I don't think everyone agreed with me, but when I saw the lineup, I was absolutely buzzing in the sense that, with the injuries in the camp, it was pretty obvious that Cooper Zek or one of the D-men was probably going to have to play as forward. Cooper Zek is probably the obvious one. And I just thought, Ross Armour, again, we talk about first, second, and third. It seems a bit disrespectful with the amount of talent that we've got, but we'll go by, what the Elite League website says and what Danny's lineup said. Ross Armour got promoted to that first line, deserved it for his run of recent form. I love the look of Cooper Zek, Lemos, and Matt Marcenu. And then obviously you had Volkan with Betteridge and Henbrand. I mean, I'll come to you, Chris. Someone like Cooper Zek, and I'd love to try and get Cooper's thoughts. We'll try and get Cooper's thoughts in the coming days. I'm not sure what the injury situation is going to be like for Sunday. We'll find out, I guess, in the coming hours and days. But Cooper may play up front again on Sunday. We'll wait and see. But again, it just shows that the sort of flexibility of this squad, doesn't it? That Cooper Zek, who's yes, he's an offensive defenseman, but he slots into that role. I thought he had a great game, and as we talked about, that the pass on that 2-1 for Matt Spencer, some of the best forwards in the world, would dream of playing a pass like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've mentioned it before and even in previous seasons about not having like a starter netminder and a backup netminder and running kind of a 1A, 1B sort of scenario. And it feels like that a bit with the forward lines at the moment. Rather than having a first, second, third, fourth line, it almost feels like Panthers are running a 1A, 1B, 1C line because everybody is putting up points and performances. And it is just really showing for Panthers. And I think these next few weeks up to the Continental Cup are going to be absolutely crucial because we don't know how long these injuries are out for. But having so many games at home, the fans are going to, it's a bit of a cliche, but the fans are going to provide an extra body and some extra lift for those players. I think often, and Finn Urich said it to me actually after the game last week, and that often when you have bodies down, it brings the locker room together even more. And you see it in other sports, don't you? If a football team goes down to 10, sometimes they're even harder to break down and can come away with wins because everybody rallies round, they take themselves to another level for the team. And I think that's what we're seeing with Panthers at the moment. You mentioned all those block shots earlier as well, but I do think this next run is going to be absolutely crucial because with so many home games, if Panthers can get themselves to the Continental Cup, still well in amongst it, they're going to be in a fabulous position, particularly when those bodies come back.
Yeah, a couple of points there that I just want to pick up on. I'm glad you mentioned Finn Ulrich. I was about to mention him while you were talking, and then you brought up his name. When I was mentioning all the forwards, it would be remiss of me not to mention him. You know, obviously was the sort of spare, the 10th forward, and got probably, I think it was just over 7 minutes. I remember looking at that earlier, but he slotted in as and when, and obviously crucially gave guys a little bit of rest. And I just, you know, you'd see him pop up, and he certainly, you know, never let anybody down. I then want to move on to the fact you said about Continental Cup. That's a really good point, because if Panthers won't play that weekend in the Continental Cup, they'll have no league matches, and you usually have two. Occasionally one, sometimes three. So obviously, you know, how wonderful would it be if Panthers, they have a buffer now that could change at any time. But I think if you're Danny Stewart, you're going to want that buffer still to remain around about where it is now, because you won't play the Continental Cup weekend. I mean, I look at Belfast, and yeah, you know, they are. I would rather have points in the bag than games in hand. I always feel. I know in previous years as Panthers, we've been playing catch up. We've had games in hand. You're just not. I don't. You know, unless you go perfect, you're not going to win those games in hand. So Belfast clearly have some games in hand to catch up. They're a damn good hockey team. Could, you know, let's say they are the same amount of points back, you know, another 10 games in. I do think they're good enough to be a team that can go on a good trek, but there's every chance the team can't, because it's really hard to contain that form over a long period of time. So that's another thing as well. So it would be wonderful to see Panthers with points in the bag going into the Continental Cup weekend, but that's a big ask. But every time there's a big ask for this team, it gets you know, they just do it. One thing I will say, we don't always comment on other teams, but I think I'd be disappointed a bit if I was a Clan fan. You talk about the way you protect your team when you're short benched, and you know, you look at the way Clan didn't protect Gary Brine. Sorry, that's his dad, Lucas Brine, the other week when they were in Nottingham. You know, if I was a Clan fan, I'd be disappointed. And also, I'd be slightly disappointed with Wednesday night. You know, we all know Corey Neilson is one of the best short form coaches in the Elite League. You only need to look at what he's done for the Nottingham Panthers and the success he's had as an assistant coach with GB. So yeah, it's rare that we comment on other teams, but I'd be slightly disappointed if I was a Clan fan to just, you know, again, you talk about, you know, Panthers were just typified what you needed to do as a short bench team. And they went and did that on Wednesday, and I thought it was fabulous. You know, Jono, do you see a similar? I mean, it's very hard to guess these coaches ahead of time, but I wonder how different or the same a game plan might be if this, you know, if we have to run with 10 forwards again. And again, I'm not putting words into anyone's mouths. We're still 48 plus hours away from the game. But I wonder how different a game we might see on Sunday with a short bench on our big arena ice compared to what we saw on Wednesday night.
Yeah, isn't it? But the ice pad is the same size at Bryad Arena than it, as it is at the NIC.
Oh, I
It's a
thought it was
60.
slightly smaller,
I
but
think
there
it's
is
a, I
it.
think it's still a 60 by 30
Is
pad.
it
I'm pretty
really?
sure it is. Yeah.
Okay,
So.
well, I mean, okay, so I'll rephrase that question then. You know, at home, do you think? I mean, I probably wouldn't expect much different, would you?
Not really. Not really. I think it'd be very similar, but obviously it depends on the opposition. Guildford have to play on Saturday night, and they're playing Coventry at home, and then they travel up. So I think a lot depends on obviously what happens Saturday night for the Flames as well. I mean, if they win, they'll be coming in full of confidence, and they could play completely different to how the Clan played. It was interesting during the game last night how often. Murph was making comments about how the power play wasn't really working for Clan, and how they didn't look confident on the power play, and how they've been struggling to score goals. I don't think that's been as much of a problem for the Flames. So I think a lot depends on the opposition coming in. But the thing is, it's the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I think if we do have the same manpower available on Sunday, then I don't see any reason why you would change it around.
Welcome, Greener.
Welcome. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Sorry about that. Bit
Yeah,
of drama.
we're getting two for one today. Media appearance on BBC Radio Nottingham, and now here. I hope you're not going to charge us double, though.
And you're just chilling on your bed.
Chill. The reason I'm chilling on my bed is I mostly sit in my kitchen, but my dishwasher's on at the moment, and I didn't think
Oh.
that you and the listeners wanted to listen to my dishwasher because it's quite loud, which makes me think it's not in the most healthiest condition. How have we got onto dishwashers on this podcast? That this could be the
No, I
most,
apologize.
and I've said boring things on this podcast. That could just be the most boringest thing
If
I've ever
anybody
said
out
on
there
this.
knows why Chris's dishwasher is so noisy, please call in.
And
Yeah,
if you can you tell me why my one's been broke for 2 years? That's and if you can think of anything more boring than anyone's ever said on a podcast, I'd like to hear it. Greener, I'm going to try and move the, we talked a lot about the clan and stuff, and we'll move it on in a minute. But I think it was Jono, might have been Chris, can't remember. Talked about, I think it was Jono, when you're short benched, the guys come together even more, and that's us saying this as someone, as an observer, as a guy from a dressing room. Is that kind of right? And Matt Marston, who mentioned it actually in his interview that the clan, the Elite League and the clan let us have, which you put out on Panthers Radio. Is it a case that you've got to step it up so it brings a squad even closer together?
Yeah, I think so. Completely. It's, you're sort of backs against the wall. You're down numbers, and some of the guys that are obviously out of the lineup are, match winners, superstars, high-end guys, and they're out the lineup. Somebody has to step in. But I also just think it gives those guys in the lineup a little bit more. You're going to play more minutes. There's going to be guys that maybe aren't on the power play and now going to be on the power play. And it just gives you almost, it sounds bad because you obviously don't want guys out the lineup, but it gives you a bit of a boost, probably knowing that you're a more vital part of the team. And, someone like Nolan Vulcan's going to come in and think, I don't want to ever come out of this lineup now. So he's in and he doesn't want to leave. And, other guys are going to jump up to the top line and think, I don't want to come off this top line. I want to be here. So it's obviously, not ideal in the long run having guys out, but guys in that room, they're all bought in and they want to play those extra 5, 6 minutes a night. So you probably haven't, may have touched on this. It's probably not sustainable long term, but while we're hot and everybody's feeling good and the momentum's high, I think everybody just wants to keep on playing.
You make some really interesting points there, which I kind of want to push you on. And as you were answering that, I was thinking things, and you kind of went on to say the things I was thinking. So what you're kind of trying to say, I mean, it's not sustainable in the long run. It's a really good point. But in the short term, like you said, let's be honest, hockey players love to play hockey. So if you're those, especially the top nine, those top nine played more minutes than they had a few weeks ago. And then, as you say, on the back of that, guys that might have not had power play time, somebody like Ross Armour, who's been third line, was on the top line. Nolan Vulcan, who's not been regular in the lineup, was playing regularly. So even though you're right about it's not sustainable, there's probably guys who last night, and like you say, they probably rolled their sleeves up and went, it's time for me to show what I can do. And once I show it, I want to show it to the coach because I don't want to lose my place, which is kind of what you said.
Yeah, I think, obviously long term you can't replace a Pearson, a Fossier, a Harris. They're top, probably all three of them are in the top 10 forwards in the league. But for the short term, those guys, it just means guys like you said, Armour, Henbrandt, these guys are just getting more ice time and they're, just as good players. And yeah, you wouldn't want to be missing all these guys for 2 months, but if it's only going to be 2 weeks, I think these guys are going to be licking their chops, thinking, God, every game that I'm playing for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be playing 4 or 5 minutes more than normal. I'm going to get more opportunities. And
you know, when those guys come back in the lineup, I want to make it difficult on Danny to have to bump me back down to where I was before. So I think it galvanizes them, and I think those guys just see it as an opportunity. You know, again, you don't want to be playing back to back Sheffield and Coventry and, you know, all these games missing a load of guys. But, you know, Fife last Sunday, no disrespect to Fife, and then, you know, this weekend, you know, only one game this weekend. Like, I think they can get us through this patch and just kind of keep treading water until the top dogs come back.
Chris, if I said to you now, I'm giving you a split against Sheffield. No 3-point games, just 2 points each out of the Christmas matches. Are you snapping my hand off, or are you thinking, oh, I actually want a bit more?
I wouldn't snap my hand off, but I'd take it.
Yeah.
Given the points that Panthers have over Sheffield at the moment, and the key thing in that back to back is not going to be to lose any ground to them. I think that is more important than gaining ground on them. But elaborate a bit on what Dan said. I think this is in a strange way could be kind of almost the ideal time for Panthers to go down if they were going to, because everyone goes down at some point in the season. And they had, as Dan said, no disrespect to Fife last weekend, and then obviously they got through this in the week where they were able to go up early and stay. One game this weekend and it's home. Then there's a rest again before the back to back with Sheffield, which isn't a lot of travel, and then Coventry, which isn't a lot of travel. And then those guys, yes, they've been injured, but they're going to come back having not been, traveling everywhere and playing a lot of hockey. So they're in some ways going to be a little bit fresher than everybody else. Yes, they've been injured, they've not been able to be on the ice as much as they'd like, and all the rest of it. But they're going to come back chomping at the bit, particularly if the situation looks very similar when they come back as to it does now. And then going into the back half of the season and the Continental Cup, and I think that can give everybody a lift as well if it goes the way Panthers want. And then I think then people will start looking, further on towards the end of the season and starting to, think happy thoughts. Let's
Yeah,
put it that way.
long way to go. Jono, you're not snapping my hands off for 2 points each, are you? Not a
Not
chance.
a chance. Not a
But
chance. No.
once the two games are done, right now you're not snapping my hands off. But if on the 28th, on the morning of the 29th, I don't know, Sheffield have won in Sheffield 4-2, and we've won 3-2, you'll be pretty okay on the morning of the 29th.
Yeah, probably. But I think I honestly think we're better than them, and I think we've got a chance of getting 4 points out of those games.
But so have Sheffield got a chance. I mean, even if we were at full strength, you know, that it's so close at the moment. Nottingham, Sheffield, Belfast, and Cardiff, you can't separate them. I know there is a separation in the table, but you know, Cardiff, I mean, Cardiff are playing, it looks like from afar, and I'm not seeing too much. I'm watching the odd goal, but their results show they're playing phenomenally well at the moment.
They're playing well. I think Belfast are playing really well as well. They've had some great results
And
recently.
Sheffield, you speak to a few people in Sheffield, and they tell you, by and large, they're not playing well. And I did put this point to somebody today, actually. I said, you can read that two ways. You're either not actually that good, or you actually are good, and people should be worried. You know, and I noticed they've added a player today, haven't they?
Yeah, Patrick Watling's
Patrick
come back.
Watling's gone back.
But he retired at the end of the last season, so he won't have played a game since April of
No, but
this
neither
year.
did
So
Jakob Stuysberg, and I
no,
think he's
that's
visiting.
very true. But Jakob was training for 6 weeks, wasn't he?
Yeah, with another
So
team.
he had a bit of it. I mean, I would imagine Patrick Watling probably has been training or certainly been on the ice, but we don't know where his fitness levels are. But even so, it's a player that they brought in who will know the systems, knows the coach, knows the team, and he'll be able to settle straight in. So that's a major positive for them. But yeah, it is. It's incredibly close. But from what I've seen of everybody, I do think we're the best team at the moment. From what I've seen of everyone, that may change over the coming months. I'm confident that it won't, but it could. But by the by, I think we're more than capable of taking 4 points from those two games against Sheffield.
Greeno, we've touched on that two goalies again, but I just think it's important to do it again because, we come on a week. Let's try and break this down. Grande shut out in Manchester. Kevin Carr, one goal conceded at home to Fife. Kevin Carr, one goal conceded on the road in Glasgow. Do our coaches know who the number one is? Do you know who our number one is? Or do we not actually right now have a number one, that they're both equals? I feel they are almost, because sometimes, like Chris Gadsby, weren't you saying TSGG was 1A, 1B? I think that's what you meant, didn't you? There's not a one and a two. They're so close together right now. It must be a really interesting conversation in the coaches' room for when they decide who they're going to play and when.
Yeah, I well, firstly, I totally agree with Chris. I think it is a 1A and a 1B. It's so close. I wouldn't want to speak for Danny and Linton. I mean, maybe they do have a guy they slightly favour. They probably wouldn't come out and say it. My hunch right now is that Kevin Carr is probably a little bit ahead. And the only reason for that is because obviously he's been tremendous and he had to play a decent stretch there while Jason was injured. And I just think there's a couple of games where, obviously that game on Wednesday, massive win, and he went with Kevin Carr. Both guys are fit. Rondé's coming off a shutout and Carsey played. So I think if we had a game tomorrow, if the playoff final was tomorrow or a must win tomorrow, I think Kevin Carr's playing personally. But
Really interesting that is. I wouldn't, it'd be hard for me to decide, but I,
yeah,
yeah, it's really.
I'm just going on the body of work this season, the times I've seen him. I mean, they've both been great. I just think, Kevin Carr's just done not put a foot wrong. He feels like he's won almost every game, every big game. But I think now it will be really a back and forth. Again, who do you play on Sunday? Carsey's just come off a big win. But I would imagine he starts Grande on Sunday because I think he'll start Carsey in the first Sheffield game. But I just think it's such a great position to be in. I think you can go with either of them any night. As I say, Danny Stewart might completely disagree with me and he might say, no, this guy's our number one. But that's how I kind of see it. I see it pretty much neck and neck. But I think if there was a must-win, do-or-die game tomorrow, I think Kevin Carr would play.
Where were you in the 2003-04 season? You
I
were
wasn't
tiny, tiny
even,
then, were you?
yeah, I wasn't. That was the, yeah, I played for the Bees the next year. I played for the Bees a little bit in the Super League that year.
2003-04 was the first year of the Elite League.
Oh yeah, so no, I
What?
didn't. I wasn't anywhere. I wasn't playing for the Bees yet.
So how old were you then?
I would have been 19, something like that,
Or
19.
19. Anyway, the reason I ask, because I'm just going to end on netminders. A Challenge Cup winning netminder is coming to the game, and it's going to be on the pre-game show on Sunday. Swedish Challenge Cup winning netminder
For the Panthers.
for the Panthers. I mean, it's open to all. I can't remember whether I've told you. I know this.
You
This
did. You
but
tell
Johnny will know.
I will stay out of it because you did tell me this about a week ago.
Yeah, I do you know what? I don't know. I can't. I'll know
Yeah.
the name when you say it wasn't.
Only played for one season. His stats were really good. Won Panthers a Challenge Cup. He
Yeah.
led Panthers to a second placed finish in the Elite League, and then was a losing netminder in the final when Panthers lost to the Steelers. Niklas Sundberg is
Thunberg, yeah, I never would have got that, but yeah, I know the name now you say
So yeah, very excited that he's coming to town. He's back in the UK for a short space of time. He'll be at the game on Sunday and will also be a part of the pre-game show. And quickly, John, and we don't have much time, but you know, when people talk about great Panthers netminders, he's never in the conversation, because when you've had people like Jordan Willis, who never actually won anything, Trevor Robbins, Craig Kowalski,
Mika
they're obviously
Wiekman.
named. Mika Wiekman, obviously, who won two trophies, but Niklas Sundberg only played for the club for one. In fact, his career was really short. I think he played in Sweden,
It was his last season when he played for
few
us,
games
yeah.
in the coast. I think he had an AHL call up off memory, but
Yeah.
yeah, he retired and got a job away from the sport. But he had a you'd look at what Panthers did that year. There aren't many years where we finished second in the table, won a trophy, and lost in a final. I think he's quite an underrated netminder in our history.
Yeah, we won as a Challenge Cup. He was the netminder when we won the Challenge Cup playoff final that we got to. I mean, his playoff stats are superb. Six games, 1.5 goals against, and a 94.5% save percentage in the six playoff games that season. He was 91% and 2.6 goals against during the regular season. So yeah, very good netminder. I seem to remember having a very good game in both those Sheffield final games in the Challenge Cup.
Yeah,
So yeah,
1-1 at home. David
one
Clark
at home and
scored.
3-2
Yeah,
at 3-2 away.
3-2
Yeah.
away. Yeah, still one of my favourite all-time wins, because it was the first one for many, many a year.
Well,
Right,
you
we've
got
gone
to
out.
call it, mate. So
Well,
you got
yes,
your.
yeah, that was fun. And there's a story about the story about that. How I was only 70% certain it was Kim Aroos, because it was before I got my glasses. But that's a good story for another time. Luckily, I was right, because if I got it wrong, that would have been a devastating moment. Anyway, guys, listen, great to chat to you. And don't forget, Panthers v Guildford on Sunday at the Motorpoint Arena. Final few tickets, just a handful. Or if you can't get to the game, listen to Jono and Greener on the webcast.